afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the producer seat for, what is it, just one of his last two episodes is Matt Belknap.
Hi,
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing very well.
Cool.
Last week, we recorded with the second of our rotating group of co-hosts, and this week I want to introduce our third rotating co-host. We're going to have four, and our third one is finally going to get some girl voices in here.
Right? So it's not such a sausage fest.
That's
Come
right.
on now.
That's right. She's been on the show before. Her episode was so gigantic, we had to split it into two. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome one of my new co-hosts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't a live show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Who are you talking to?
Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing out there? Can I hear from just the girls? Okay, now let's hear the guys. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Christy Stratton. Woo!
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Although I'm sad about Matt leaving
I'm
now.
Sorry.
Yes, Matt's leaving.
This is these are the four episodes where I have to say sorry to each person.
Right,
that comes
everyone comes in. Because Kyle, who's also in the room, is going to be the new producer, and no one likes him. So I mean, it's just going to be really hard.
Yeah.
I've met him just today, and I find him quite a delight.
He's good.
In his camo shorts.
He's good. I have camo shorts on too. He came out, and I go, really? Is that how we're going to go today?
Yeah, he can pull it off. I'm not sure about
we,
you.
We got someone looked at it. We came from Coffee Bean, and someone gave us a look like, all right.
Yeah.
I think they thought it was some type of NAMBLA thing. They're like, oh, look at this guy. He makes his friend wear the shorts too.
It's a very we're recording this right before Halloween, and it's just a very obscure Halloween costume. He's like, you know, the father and son who both wear camo shorts.
Wear camo. That's what we do. So Chrissy, you're going to be joining us now as a rotating co-host.
I'm excited. Thrilled.
When Gary sent me his email that said that he was no longer wanted to do the show, he goes, you and Christy seem to have some chemistry, though. Maybe that's a good thing. So I actually think that Gary, when we recorded with you, I think we recorded with you originally, Gary had in his mind that he was going to leave, and he's like, I'll bring in Christy. Everyone likes Christy. So,
Oh, I wish. And I am not looking to replace Gary Lucy, everyone. He is a national treasure, and I am like a gold-plated trinket you find on eBay.
Well, for me, it seems like it's taking four people to replace him.
Yeah.
It's very much like when Lindsey Buckingham left Fleetwood Mac and they replaced him with Billy Burnett and Rick Vito.
I kind of think it's
right,
like,
everybody?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen?
I don't know what that meant at all, but I'm going to say it's like Voltron, where like, you know, five robots make one ultra robot. So like if by some chance someday Gary comes back, he'll be the body, and then
these
Mike,
will be the
Murray,
arms.
Christy, and beep will be the arms and legs, and then
I'll be probably
awesome.
Be the ass, right? Does the robot have an ass?
I guess I was thinking you'd maybe be. Yeah, I don't know what you would be. I was going to say you'd be the pilot in the.
How about if I control? Sense. Yeah, I'd be controlling.
No, that'd
the robot.
Be more the producer. That'd be Kyle.
That would be Kyle. I can't give him that much responsibility.
Yeah, so you're really out of the picture at this point.
And here's one thing I want
to
say.
Yes.
I know that sometimes like listeners will call in and like there's a bit where they like call you an asshole or something.
Yeah.
I'm
they tell me to go fuck myself.
No, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff I take real personally. So I hope that doesn't catch on. Like,
no. That's only
bitches.
That's only
okay.
for me. No, they won't.
You're okay with them saying it to Pat, right? Like that doesn't bother you.
Well,
or that you don't even that
I feel a little defensive. I've got to tell you,
Well, we won't play any of those when you're here.
I'm
but you're not okay with them saying, "Yo, bitches."
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it's for comedy's sake, I'll do it, I guess. I'll just go home and cry.
I hear what you're saying. I think, like, out of context, it's always jarring. Like, if I forget that, because like a couple of times I forget that that's a thing, and it's like, whoa, what the hell?
Well, why'd the person just say that? Oh, that's right. That's a bit.
Yeah.
And, like, if my dad ever listens, like, honey, why are they calling you a, you know?
They're not going to do it to you.
They're not going to do it to you.
Yeah, you're just.
Yeah, right.
It's really just
We'll see how many people I offend.
And the weird thing about that is it actually comes. comes from a real place because Pat actually can fuck himself. So
yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right.
They're really just referencing his he has
that's
a
my ability.
Very special
my,
talent.
My mistake.
And I'm not good at it.
No, but the fact that you can do it at all is noteworthy, and that's why people like to shout it out.
So, hey, before we get into
speaking of shouting it out.
Oh, yeah, before we get into the topic, we started to talk about something when we weren't on mic, and I go, whoa, just save it, Matt. You can tell this. So, Matt,
yeah, it's your story, but I want to tell it.
Yeah, you want to tell it. This happened yesterday.
This is what I saw on Twitter. Well, I saw it backwards, as often happens. I saw your reaction on Facebook, which is even, that's a different issue. When you see, when people are doing like Facebook to Twitter and Twitter to Facebook, then you force me to go to Twitter because I saw you wrote something and I was like, well, I don't know what that means. And there's no way to figure it out here. I have to go to Facebook or to Twitter to find out. But anyway, what happened was chronologically,
yes, chronologically.
Is that Gene Simmons posted, hey guys, go get your LA gear now. And it was a link to the merch page for his arena football team that Gene and Paul Stanley bought an arena football team called the LA Kiss, and you can get your t-shirts and your knickknacks now. And so then Pat replied to him on Twitter and said, Alice Cooper did makeup first. Bon Jovi bought an arena football team first. Are you ever going to do anything original, or when are you going to do something original? And and I was like, well, first of all,
why would you do
way
that?
Too harsh. That's right. Ridiculous. But then Gene Simmons wrote back at Pat Francis, yes, don't be jealous. Yep.
And then I wrote
and
back.
And then Pat immediately flipped to sycophantic fanboy.
Yep, yep.
Went, oh my God, I'm thrilled. No, this is great.
I said something like, needless to say, that just made my day. But yeah. Well, I am a Kiss fan, but
then why were you shitting on him?
Because I like to call, because Gene Simmons, I always feel like he feels like he invented everything. He invented podcasting, air, I mean, everything. You know what I mean? So
he better not get involved in podcasting.
What if he does? We're going to have the Kiss Network.
This is going to be the greatest podcast.
Let me tell you something. I'd love to do podcasts. That'd be great.
What's your favorite podcast, Paul?
Oh, let me think. What's some of my favorite? I like Nerdist.
Yeah.
What else do I like? I like
Super Ego.
Super Ego. Yeah.
I love Super Ego.
I can't even do it. Well, let's get into the topic.
Yeah.
Today. This is a topic. Christy, you came up with this topic.
I did.
And I got to tell you, this was a hard topic. I'm going to explain why once you introduce it.
Well, it's misheard lyrics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So many of these I heard first as a child or a young person.
Uh-huh.
And because of my limited, I don't know, vocabulary or my perspective at the time, I misheard it and had sung it a certain way for a while.
So these aren't the standard, like,
excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah, excuse me while I kiss. We're not doing those. We're doing ones that you and I have actually misheard.
Right.
So what was hard about that was I don't know that I've misheard them unless I'm listening to the song and then I go, oh, so I really had to rely on my memory to go through. I really had to go through my iTunes and go, are there any songs here where I don't quite remember the lyrics? Or so this was a tough one because you can't just type in misheard lyrics and they come up for you.
Correct.
All right, cool. So
but you keep a diary of all your misheard lyrics, is that right?
There's a few that I know of, and there were a couple that I'm like, I know I'm singing this wrong.
Right.
One in particular, I only learned like yesterday what the real lyric was.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Before we play this, I never miss an opportunity to play this little sound clip that I want to start with today. This is Motley Crue live in Salt Lake City from the year 2000, where I swear to God, Vince Neil is not even singing actual words. So let's listen to 13 seconds of Dr. Feelgood.
From the top?
From the top.
Hold on.
And you'll have to stop it right at the end because it'll go into the next song if you don't. So here we go. This is... Okay, he's just, that's an Adam Sandler character, right? Because he's literally, he's all day, one of the days, I'm one of the do. I mean, that's not even, that's crazy.
That is, that's like, I don't know the words to that song, but I'm pretty sure those aren't them.
I think he's saying Jigsaw Jimmy, he's running the gang, I hear he's doing okay. It's, and then something like, then I don't know. I don't know what he's singing. It's ridiculous.
It's absurd.
It's terrible. So misheard lyrics.
Yes.
How many songs do you have today?
Well, I have a bunch, but I know that, you know, you guys will take it to time and then, oh, we apologize to whoever.
All right, cool.
So I have 12.
I'm going to let you start. So how do you want to do this? Do we say what the real, what we thought it was after the, do we hear the song first?
I think we'll play it and then we'll talk
Let's
about
play
what
it.
We
okay.
all think.
All right.
So if you'll start that first song at about 30 seconds, please.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. You want to give us any hints or you're just going to drop it in cold? Here we go.
Want to tell us who the band is?
Rolling Stones.
Okay.
Sugar, how come you dance so good? How come, you know, because she's a dancer, she's working her way through college, and he's being really supportive of her, and you know, she's a dancer.
I think that's a little racist, because you're just saying that all black people can dance. That's what I think you're saying.
Well, I didn't, as a child, I didn't even know about that. Like, I thought, you know, she was just sweet, like brown sugar right. that I put in my chocolate chip cookies. Like, I had no...
Well, look, you're not wrong about that.
Yeah, I don't. I guarantee you, less than 1% of the listening public got what this song was really about at the time. Like, I didn't know it until Pat told me like a few weeks ago. I think
it astounds me that this song got played on the radio.
It's crazy.
Hear him whip the women just around midnight.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I thought it was here in with the women.
No, hear him whip the women.
Oh.
Here's the problem.
They're talking about the Gold Coast slave ship bound for cotton fields.
Yeah, if you're going to write a song about slavery, don't make it such a upbeat, jaunty tune. Like, that's so weird. Like, it's a dun, bum, bing, bum, bam, bam. It's like a fun time song about abuse and slavery.
Do you know what else is like that is, what's the matter here? And you're like singing along with and Natalie Merchant. You're like, oh my gosh, this is about child abuse.
Yeah. Terrible.
Mm.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Christy's
so wait, so once again, you thought it was...
Yes.
How come you dance so good?
And what is the actual...
Taste.
Okay. So that's a pretty minor misunderstanding compared to the overall song and what's happening elsewhere.
Yes. Yes.
I think you're... I don't... You shouldn't feel bad about that.
No. I think you're okay. This... I'm going to go with the guys from Boston who think they're the Rolling Stones. This is Aerosmith, a song called Young Lust. Drop us in at about 40 seconds. You couldn't understand any of those lines.
Yeah, like, this is the thing. My problem with this topic is, like...
Uh-oh, he has a problem with your topic.
I do. Well, it's not with the topic. It's the problem with, like, if I was going to try to pull a song. There's so many songs, I don't even try to understand it. Like, if I hear that, I just give up. My ears give up. I'm just like, fine. You don't want me to know what you're saying. That's good. I'll just listen to the music.
You know what? Now that we heard that, I don't think that was a good example.
Well, what does he say?
He's saying, "Young lust, you're dying and you're screaming inside, or you're guilty way before you've been tried."
And what did you think?
Not that much different. I thought it was young lust, you're dying and you're screaming insane, and you're guilty before you're in jail.
That makes more sense, kind of.
I know. I should write
sometimes your brain tries to, like, make a connection to, like, logic.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
You know.
Well, I'm going to give the point to Christy. She had a better version.
I didn't realize this was a contest. Oh.
It's not a contest, but I just made it.
I think because we are former Rock and Roll Jeopardy contestants, we're always going to have some kind of
I think
a,
so. Competition.
Yes, like, yes.
Makes sense.
You win so far. okay, song two. You're up again.
Okay. This next song is...
I do like the topic, by the way.
Okay. Okay.
Be damned, Matt.
This next one is Van Halen. And if you would take it a minute 30, please.
I like how you say Van Halen. You're like, Van Halen?
Van Halen.
It's kind of like how you say Pardcastathon.
Pardcastathon.
Instead of Pardcastathon.
Pardcastathon.
All right. Here's Van Halen. Any lyrics. This is so far.
Here it is.
Have you seen Junior's grades?
Oh, wait a minute. That's very straightforward.
Yes. What did you think that was?
Well, remember, when I'm a kid, I'm getting into rock and roll. I'm like, is there certain bands that sing about the devil and like Jimmy Page and all that, Aleister Crowley? I thought he was saying, have you seen Junior's grave? Have you seen Junior's grave?
All right.
That's better.
Yeah, that's good.
I often hear grave, like Seal, that song, Kiss from a Rose on the Grave. Like, I grave, if there's anything that's, I'm definitely going to grave.
Your exterior and your face exudes like an angelic fun thing, but it sounds like you have darkness inside.
So, by the way, the name of that track is...
The Cradle Will Rock.
Right. So you were really taking it from the cradle to the grave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
I'm leaving now.
Let's get even darker.
I'm quitting
early. Did you think that maybe a baby died from crib death in this? Is that how dark it was?
I just thought he just was rocking himself into the grave.
Well, most of these bands that I play are doing that. You know what? Since she played Van Halen, jump to my Van Halen song.
All right. Here it is.
About 41 seconds.
You can talk while I'm cueing it because I can't magically just...
Come on, Matt. What's taking so long? Okay. Now, the real line is blue-eyed murder in a size 5 dress.
As I recall, one of Mike Schmidt's favorite lyrics of all time.
Of all time. I thought it was blue-eyed murder in a satisfied dress.
Yeah.
I knew it was size 5, and here's why. Because when I was a kid, I went right from like the kids department to like a size 10. So I knew Van Halen's ideal of woman was not me.
Yeah.
That was not me.
Well, it sounds like they like children then if you went from...
Right?
Yeah.
This is just...
I don't even think...
This is another example of
the rock and roll
patriarchy keeping the woman down.
I don't even
right?
think...
I mean, size
imposing this unrealistic...
That's ridiculous.
Impossible to attain.
Yeah.
I don't even think David Lee Roth likes women, to be honest. I think that's the biggest ruse in rock and roll right now.
Maybe that's what he's talking
about. That's my personal thing. I don't think...
I kind of love him. And not just because we were born on the same day, October 10th.
Oh, wow.
But
I think
he is one of the most underrated... lead singers there is. Him and Robin Zander and Ben Orr, I think, are so underrated.
But only, wow, geez, one of them has passed. One of them still sings like an angel, and one of them can't sing anymore. David Lee Roth.
Talking about DLR.
He can't sing live anymore.
Well, you know, I saw them a few years ago, and I thought they were awesome, and he had this beautiful, like, bolero jacket that he took off, and then he pranced
fooled
around,
you. He
and
fooled
I'm,
you with
like,
the jacket.
Looking at the jacket, and then
and he swung a sword around and waved a flag.
With the short hair, and poor Wolfie just buried into himself, playing.
Okay, you're up. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. This one, I have two
Chrissy,
different...
Chrissy, you're not listening to the show. You're actually a part of it right now.
Okay. This is Soundgarden.
Okay.
And there's a couple different little clips from this. Start at 1 minute, please. This.
That's fine.
I know I've been taught the hand signal, and I kind of just do this kind of like.
I just do a little.
We're talking
to the audience at home. We're talking fade out gestures.
Fade out gestures.
I thought that line was "All my friends are scared to death," because he's homeless.
He's
clearly,
a spoon
man. And like the
who wouldn't
whole,
be afraid of spoon.
The
man?
Whole thing is really and it, can you cue up to 305 or is that going to be hard? For that
let's
same
find
song?
Out. We'll see. We're putting Kyle through his paces here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, Kyle.
Kyle's in training today to
hurry
be
up.
A producer. We're nervous that he's going to be chatty the way he is today, though.
For the audience at home, we're playing this off YouTube because iTunes used to be a jerk about protected files. When you try to play something on a different computer, it won't play.
Here it is.
Why is it so quiet? I don't know.
Come on, Okay, that's enough of that. I thought, because such a horror show, this song, and I'm scared to death. I thought he was saying, come on, knock it off. Come on, knock it off. Like, he's going to just break free of this homeless guy who's playing this movie, who's creepy. So anyway, that other lyric was, all my friends are skeletons. That was that original lyric. Uh-huh. And that lyric was...
let's try to guess. Come on. Do you have a guess? I thought he was saying... come on when I get off?
Yes. Come on while I get off. So he's taken you down this totally creepy road.
Yeah.
And then like it gets even creepier and then it ends.
Yeah. Soundgarden, they weren't afraid. Their videos were super creepy too. Yeah. It's always just like really disturbing imagery. And
you know what's really creepy is Junior's grave. That is
right?
Like super
Have you seen
creepy.
It?
Oh, I'm afraid to. I'm going to play what I assume is one of Christy's favorite bands.
Ooh.
And well, you just said that this is one of your favorite lead singers. So I'm going to play a car song.
Yay!
And Matt, if you could drop this in at 1 minute and 40 seconds.
Mm-hmm. She's popping inside. Because she can't refuse. She's so beautiful now. She doesn't wear her shoes. She never likes to choose.
Okay, here it comes.
She got wonderful eyes and a real scared mouth.
Okay, so the real line is she's got wonderful eyes and a risque mouth. I thought it was, she's got wonderful eyes and a whiskey mouth.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it was
whiskey. I'm with you.
I was singing it one day and my wife goes, it's risque mouth. And I was like,
equally probable though. Neither of those is better than the other.
No,
to
she
me.
Could have
like,
a whiskey
I think
mouth.
They're both totally viable lyrics. Yeah. Like that, they could have gone either way.
But my wife, who mishears every lyric, called me out on that. She thought Kansas Carry On Wayward Son was Gary. You're no wayward son. And she also, I have it queued up, but I won't play it. But she thought the Rolling Stones Get Off My Cloud was instead of don't hang around because two's a crowd, get off my cloud. She thought it was don't hang around, go to the town.
Oh, I thought it was something about losing town.
Nope.
Oh, that's
nope.
A very...
Ladies hear town.
Mick Jagger is probably the most misheard singer of all time, right?
I mean, maybe.
It was even that, you know, remember the movie Jumpin' Jack Flash? There was a whole scene where... The movie was, I think it was called Jumpin' Jack Flash, partly because Whoopi Goldberg was trying to hack into a computer and the password was a lyric from the song Jumpin' Jack Flash. So there's a whole scene where she's trying to play the song and just guess different things, but she's yelling. I think it actually probably came from her stand-up act too, like joking about, you know, the misheard lyrics of that song, but she's like trying to enter it. She's like, Mick, what are you saying, Mick? I don't understand you.
I love your Whoopi
That's
Goldberg.
One of my best impressions. I'll treat you to a little more later if you're lucky.
Christy,
oh,
you're,
yes.
Believe it,
can
you're
you
up.
Skip to number five? I'm going to skip the number four and go to five.
Let's see if this is
Maybe
password
we'll go back.
Protected.
Now let me.
Yeah, we're going to play password protected roulette with this whole thing. It is not.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Let me set this up. I'm very excited to come back here once a month. And I'm warning you, the listeners, everyone, I am a huge Bee Gees fan. Not in a way that like, ooh, it's a guilty pleasure. No. No, no.
I hate when people say guilty pleasure.
Yeah,
anyway.
Just I'm not going to have it. Now, when I was a kid and Saturday Night Fever came out, and you could really understand very few of any of these lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've been singing this one as a kid for so long. And then I'm like, I'm going to look up what those lyrics are. So if you'll take this the number five song to started at 1 minute and 30 seconds, please. Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought he was saying in that last verse, I got hair in my back. I can't hide it in Milwaukee, and I'm glowing in the dark in New Orleans.
Oh, my God.
The real lyric. I got fire in my mind. I got higher in my walkin', and I'm glowing in the dark. I give you warning.
wow, I don't know which one's better.
That is to me a classic example of he does not want you to know what he's saying.
He's saying.
No. There's no way you lay that down and then they mix it and you're like, we got it, guys. Well, everyone's going to be talking about the glowing in the dark. And
there's a thing when they have the music written but they don't have the lyrics yet, and sometimes they'll just scat sing along.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think sometimes the scat singing lyrics just keep them.
I think so. I've seen there was a documentary called Keppel Road about the Bee Gees in the 90s. And in it, Barry was discussing, because I think he's such a great melody, they're such great melody writers.
Yeah.
And he'll admit to, like, look, if the lyric doesn't fit the melody, we'll change the lyric. And you know what? I'm glad there are songwriters out there that do that, because I go to certain people for beautiful lyrics and whatever. But, you know, and I think they sometimes stumble upon really good lyrics. But anyway, I'm a big fan. And that one I just had to.
Well, you can talk about the Bee Gees as much as what is happening.
What on earth?
Why are we getting a phone call?
Why are we getting a phone call from?
Oh, you know what? I think are we taking listener calls? Hello, hi, you're on the air.
Why is your phone on, and why is it all the way across the room? That's on you.
My phone's on in case someone calls me. It's all the way across the room so that we don't hear it on mic.
Well, you could put it on vibrate and put it in your pocket.
I know.
That would be the way to handle that.
I think this next song is my most embarrassing miss here.
Oh, I love it.
Well, there's two on this list, but this one...
Better than Hair in My Back?
This is pretty... This is... Because the word I hear wrong is like a very negative word,
ooh,
especially in 2013. But this is David Bowie, and let's drop it in at a minute 27 seconds.
Ashes to ash and fun to fuck it.
Okay, now he says ashes to ashes, fun to funky, we know Major Tom's a junkie.
Okay.
I thought he was saying ashes to ashes, fun to faggot. That's what I thought he was saying.
Whoa!
And for 1980 and David Bowie, that wouldn't be a lyric that might not be written.
Yeah, I mean, in 1986, the Dire Straits had a hit record
that
says that word, and it was like, okay, great.
Okay,
like,
yeah, great
that
lyric.
That's a great, like, when people are like, oh, that word's offensive, if you're trying to explain the world we grew up in, just point to that song and be like, everyone loved this song. No one batted an eye that
sang
this
it,
word
and
was
it
in.
Was wrong that we sang that lyric and then
Wait. I'm going to defend the Dire Straits song, which I think is a masterpiece.
I know
but
what you're saying.
He's playing singing, a character.
Yeah. That's true.
It's
he's not. I agree with
he
that.
He doesn't say that.
That subtlety probably didn't fly so well on MTV. Like, I think when you're caught up in the early CGI graphics of their video, you're not really thinking about, like, is this guy making a subtle commentary about the world of rock and roll?
And since David Bowie was always androgynous and
yes.
he didn't know what was going on, and I would have assumed back then, well, it's okay for him to use that word because maybe he is homosexual.
Maybe.
Here's where I'm going to bust you though, Pat, because that is the rhyming word in the song. And if you go to the next line and he says Major Tom's
a junkie, rhymes with funky. I never knew it.
I mean, that he was giving you a really good clue as to what that other word might have been.
Are you sure he didn't say we know Major Tom's a jagged? Are you sure that's not what he was saying?
Pretty sure.
What's your favorite Dire Straits CD?
Making Movies.
Oh, right here. That's the best.
It
without
is.
A doubt. I mean, there's not even another, you can't even argue it.
No.
What's
it's
on
best.
That one? I don't really know them that well.
Making Movies, Skate Away, Tunnel of Love.
Yes. And Romeo and Juliet.
Making Movies is the title. There's no song called Making Movies.
Romeo and Juliet. That's the
solid
song
rock.
Yes.
The whole there's only seven songs. It's the whole thing, top to bottom, the best.
Talk about a bunch of slackers.
Produced by Jimmy Iovine,
who's
the god.
I feel like you guys might have even talked about this the last time Christy was on. So.
I don't think we did. I think I've talked about it before, though. And maybe Christy and I will do it. Maybe we'll have an all Dire Straits.
Oh my gosh,
making
I love
movies.
That. I think he is such an underrated songwriter, Mark Knopfler.
Yeah.
I think he can really his solo stuff in the last like several years is outstanding. I mean, people don't know it because it's not on the radio.
I know, but it is.
That's very well.
Good. You're up.
Okay. Well, my next song, I could just honestly pick anything by Elton John. Really?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's very hard to understand him.
This one. Okay, let's take it at 50 seconds, please.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man, burning out his fuse out there.
rocket man burning out of Tucson, Arizona.
Well, maybe he blasted. Oh, that's where the rocket blasted off from, right?
Right?
Out in the desert?
You even like shortened the name of a state Arizona. To make right. that work in your head.
It's not like they wouldn't do that, these songwriters.
And the real lyric is burning out his fuse up here alone.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I do feel like, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Elton John writes the lyrics and Bernie Taupin writes the music. Is that right? Is that how it works?
No.
It's the other way around?
The other way around.
Okay. I think they don't give a fuck about the lyrics. I think they're just like, whatever, like, let's make it work. Because, yeah, that just doesn't fit, really, when you think about what he's trying to say.
And they don't do it together, either. That's why they...
Two rooms.
Even worse.
There was what was it?
Compilation.
A tribute,
people,
a tribute
yes,
album
two
called Two Rooms.
Yeah.
In very early 90s.
People, you're learning a lot today.
That's really weird. I guess I don't know much about them, but it's weird that the guy singing the words doesn't write the words.
I know, isn't it? That's how much faith he has in Bernie Taupin's lyric writing.
I think it's time to find another lyricist because that shit doesn't fit. It doesn't work.
Arizona is gorgeous.
Song's great, but like, what the hell is that? That doesn't mean anything.
Are you ready for my number two most embarrassing?
Yeah.
Because this isn't even... There's no way you can mishear this, and yet I did. This is the Blues Brothers. Let's take it right at the end at 2:11. Now, this song, people, is called Rubber Biscuit. That's the title of the song. Here we go, 2:11. These are not what I misheard. Here it is.
What do you want for nothing? Rubber biscuit?
Stop it right there. I thought he was saying, what do you want for nothing? How about a piece of cake?
What?
Listen okay, to it again.
I got to hear it again.
I thought he said, what do you want for nothing? How about a piece of cake?
What do you want for nothing? Rubber biscuit?
A piece of cake?
What do you want for nothing? Rubber biscuit.
I kind of know what you mean.
Yeah, a little bit.
But you really like that's a crazy distortion. If that's biscuit. Like,
this, I mean, the song's called Rubber Biscuit. How can you not hear him say Rubber Biscuit?
Yeah, that's confusing. Did you biscuit? Not know the name of the song?
You know what? And then I'm like, I don't even know why this song's called Rubber Biscuit.
the solution to the riddle was right in front of your face.
Right in front of my face. A piece
of cake.
Oh my
gosh.
How about a piece of cake?
Fantastic. Okay, this next one, you guys. It's Foreigner. And I have to admit to you that only 2 days ago did I discover the real lyric. Now take this, maybe 10 seconds in.
All right.
Waiting, I was overweighting, meaning I was waiting so much I was gaining weight.
Overweighting.
Isn't that what he
says? He says hours of the waiting.
Wow.
I know.
I've been singing what you're singing.
Yeah, that's.
I was overweighting. Okay,
all it sounds like. I mean, that's a song where it's very easy to hear him. He's right up in the front of the mix. It's very clear diction.
Yeah, it's right here. Waiting, hours of waiting.
I get it. Because hours of waiting.
Yeah, he puts that weird inflection.
Yeah. Yes.
Waiting.
Hours of waiting. I guess.
Everybody, yeah. Come on.
That's weird, man.
But when you wait, if you're waiting a long time, you're going to eat. You're going to, sit on the couch.
I thought he meant I'm over waiting. I'm
waiting.
Over
I'm over. I should have been gone an hour ago. Yeah. I am
so over
waiting.
Yeah,
okay.
I've always sang it like that. That's weird. Good for you.
Hours of waiting. All right. We're solving riddles.
All right. I love it. No one's ears work. People are stupid. Not you. Me.
Give me that back, Pat.
Give me what back?
It's your turn. not going to play songs.
Let me see what I have in the canon of goodness. Let's try this Eagles song from 1 minute.
You want to give it any ramp up at all, or just talk?
This is the Eagles, and we're going to take it from a minute.
Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's such a nice sight to see.
You mean Arizona?
It's right.
Girl, my Lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on.
Okay, now the real lyric is, it's a girl, my Lord, in a flatbed Ford.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I thought it was
pretty straightforward.
I know, but not if you're. Look, I heard piece of cake. I thought it was, it's a girl, my Lord, with a flat buckboard.
What is a buckboard?
What is a buckboard?
I have no idea.
That is a thing.
It is a
what
thing.
What is it?
It's a thing that girl has.
Okay.
And she's carrying it around with her. Like,
I know.
She's hitchhiking with it or something.
Huh. Yeah, she's got a flat buckboard.
I think a buckboard is also something to do with a car, though. Is it?
Maybe. So, see,
Kyle, do something.
It's not that crazy. Look up buckboard. Why aren't you looking it up?
I think it's like no, that's a runner board. Those things are like on old cars along the side, but
all right.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, while Kyle looks that up.
Do we, let's each do one more. You want to apologize?
Sounds great.
I'm going to apologize to AC/DC. You shook me all night long, and I apologize to John Mellencamp for Jack and Diane, because he has a lyric that.
What, which lyric in Jack and Diane?
Diane sitting on Jack and his lap, got a hand between her knees.
Yeah.
Just listen to it. 55 seconds. You can't even understand what he's saying.
Nah, we'll do it later.
You don't want to do it at all?
It's her turn.
Okay. Well, that's true. It is your turn.
Okay. Do I say who I apologize to?
Sure.
Okay. I apologize.
I'll tell you this right now.
Apologize to Matt for all these password protected song files.
The song that will work is...
Okay, we'll do that one then.
All right.
So don't apologize to them.
My apologies to Peter Gabriel and to Pat Benatar. Okay, we'll do this one.
And no apologies to Steve Jobs for this shitty system of making music.
Let's take this. This is The Cult, and let's take it from about 10 seconds.
I love The Cult.
This is not Fire Woman. That's the only song I know. So I'm just making it clear.
Is it Little Devil? Oh,
Remove a Shame.
This is great. I'm excited for this.
Okay. There's a red room because she was there.
Right.
Scarlet Woman, she got me a beer. See, this
is a very nice lady.
This came out when I was in high school. And that's like a guy who liked you would say, hey, get me a beer. Like that, to me, that made sense to me. That was my world. I'm like, oh,
you were in some abusive relationships.
Yeah, that is.
Do you want to talk off mic?
That is crushingly depressing.
That is terrible.
Perhaps.
Woman, give me a beer.
The real lyric is much better. Fell to the red room because she was there. A scarlet woman, she got me in fear.
I'd much rather have a beer, to be honest.
That really stinks. Yeah. It doesn't rhyme, first of all.
No.
And then, yeah, what the hell?
Ian Astbury sounds great, though.
I know, right?
Yeah. I really wish I would have seen him when he toured with the Doors. But I didn't get to.
Yeah, me neither. Mainly because I don't like the Doors.
There you go. No one does. Hardly anyone does. I like them a little bit. Okay, this song.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Kyle has some late-breaking information.
On buckboard?
Oh!
You want the mic? Here we
go. He's almost slower than Garen.
The buckboard is the frontmost board on a wagon that could act as both a footrest for the driver and protection from the driver from the horse's rear hooves in case of a buck.
Well, it's a girl, my Lord. He's shocked that he's even seeing a vehicle from the 1930s.
Right.
In a flat buckboard.
She's doing a show of some sort, like with the Mennonites or something.
Yeah. Or else maybe it's a traveling medicine show or something.
There you go.
That just shows how old you are, Pat.
I know.
Your mind goes to the 1800s when they're talking about vehicles.
It's crazy. It's crazy that I'll be 72 years old in February. Okay, this song, this is Led Zeppelin. Mm. This is what I call one of my mental patient songs, which means I can put this song on and push repeat, and I could listen to this for 8 hours straight, just over over and over and over the same song.
And that's kind of the effect of the way the song goes, too. It feels like it's just going over and over and over.
But this is, let's take it from 10 seconds because we don't need to hear that first 10 seconds.
Well, there's a light in your eye that keeps shining. Like a star that can wait for night. I hate to think I've been blinded, baby. What can I see tonight?
Okay, so the real lyric is where there's a light in your eye that keeps shining like a star that can't wait for the night. I thought it was...
Nice lyric, by the way.
Yeah, very nice. Lyric. Unless you sing it my way, which is like a sign that can't wait for a knife. It doesn't even make sense. But it's Led Zeppelin, and they're singing about...
They're singing about the
gremlins and the Hobbit.
Right. Up to this point, the lyrics are gobbledygook. And somehow on this song, it's like white, hot, crystal clear, a story, beginning, middle, end.
I love
it. I do, too. And I'm like, it's so not like them.
Yeah.
And I remember in college, I had sung the song my whole life. Mm-hmm. And then my friend had to bring up to me like, oh, he's waiting on the... It's about this guy, and he's waiting for this... And then he's waiting on the wrong block, and I'm like, oh, that's what it's about. And I have been singing the song forever, but not processing it because, you know, when you're a kid, it doesn't really matter.
So is this one of your mental patient songs as well?
I don't know. I don't think so. Damn my it. Mental patient songs are not as highbrow.
All right.
They're like Twisted Sister, I Want to Rock, that kind of thing.
Let's give some apologies. I'm going to apologize to the Love and Spoonful for Summer in the City, because I always thought it was hot damn Summer in the City, but it's not. It's Hot Town.
And I thought it was Hot Time.
He thought it was Hot
City.
Time.
So like, we were on either side of the correct thing. Yeah.
And apologize to John Mellencamp for being a douchebag. And for Jack and Diane, that has some lyrics that I don't even know what he's really saying.
I really want to hear what you're talking about. Let's just real, real quick.
Okay. It's like Vince Neil from Motley Crue. Wait, do you hear this? 55 seconds.
Sucking on chili dog. Outside taste freeze.
That's fine.
Diane sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hands between the knees.
Still good?
Yep.
Jackie say, hey Diane, let's run off behind the shady trees. Dribble off those Bobby Brooks, let me do what I please.
Yeah, no one knows what that is. No one knows what
Bobby Brooks!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it says, he says dribble.
Dribble off those
dribble
Bobby
off
Brooks.
Those Bobby
yeah,
Brooks.
Bobby Brooks was like a... I don't know, a shoe or pants. I don't know. I knew it was a clothier.
Sounds like something you would wear on a buckboard.
So it does. Also, how do you dribble off shoes?
Yeah, just...
I don't know. He might have meant pants. I don't remember exactly the Bobby Brooks.
Take them off.
Okay, Kyle's going to look it up. We'll find out next week.
Any apologies? Or did you give
them? Pat Benatar. And Peter Gabriel.
All right, great. Christy, where can we find you? Where can we... You're on the... Do you tweet?
I do. I'm at Christy with a C-H and a Y, S Man, at Christy S Man. And I have my blog, likemotherlikehoarder.com.
All right. This is about...
I like to read about funny things that I can't really give away.
And this is about things that you refuse to give away.
Yes.
You
well, what I do is I say, hey, look, I found this old Simpsons comic, and here's the story behind it. And then people can vote whether or not I should throw it away.
And then if they vote to throw it away, do you really throw it away?
I do. I absolutely do.
All right, you don't good. Give it away or sell
oh,
it? Or
I do. There have been a couple times where I've had like a pile of roller skates, for instance. And this one friend was like, I'll take one of those, the one that doesn't fit. I mean, and I have a picture of her like wearing my roller skates that don't fit.
No one should ever have a pile.
I literally right
skates.
Now.
If
I
you have
I
four
have
people in your household, you should have at most four pairs of roller skates.
Right, never a pile. I want to tell you about something called... It's a Rock Solid now has a message board that was created by Scott Phillips. It's at rocksolidpodcast.activeboard.com. So go there if you really want to talk music.
And I bet we could put a link to that on the Rock Solid Guide, which is at rocksolidpodcast.com.
That's right. So we'll have to do that. And
telling
also,
you to do it.
Okay, thank
do
you.
It.
A couple weeks ago, Jimmy Pardo and I sat down with the surviving members of the Knack, and I never thanked Doug Feiger's sister, Beth, for putting me in contact with Burton Avare and helping me get him in the studio. So thank you to Beth. Thank you to Prescott, and thank you to Burton. Matt, thank you so much.
Sure.
We've only got one more episode with you.
Yeah.
And
it's getting real, man.
Do you have a playout song for us, a misheard lyric?
I do. It's not...
Christy Stratton, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
And look forward to seeing
so
you
fun.
In a couple episodes from now.
Yes.
This is a cop out because I didn't prepare for this at all. I never really do. I just play whatever comes up to my mind.
So
lazy.
So it hurts.
But that's usually with most topics, that's a good way to do it because then it's like what in the moment, whatever feels right, I do it. But this is one where you kind of have to work on it ahead of time. So instead, and by the way, I mishear so many lyrics. I probably have misheard lyrics in this song. So just pick any lyric and I probably got it wrong. But this is more of a thematic tie-in to the whole episode, and it's also a great song. It's Missing Persons. What are words for, guys, when no one listens anymore? It's called Words on Rock Solid.